Last year, Adam and I and a few hundred friends of DeSoto gathered in the Masonic Lodge inside a cemetery in the heart of Hollywood. Were we there to practice some dark rite? Some sinister ritual designed to bring deceased Star Trek actors back to the plane of the living? To bring an unholy horde of undead nerd celebrities to Earth to consume the brains of the living? No, we were just doing our live show of the Share Your Embarrassment Tour. It's our review of Star Trek V, and we filmed it. We just wanted to let you know to get ready for that live stream announcement coming next week. If you're a Max Fun member and you support our shows, you'll get access to discounted tickets from membership at MaximumFun.org. So, good time to make sure those emails are delivering properly to your inbox. Either way, we'll be announcing ticket links soon here and on our mailing list that you can sign up for at podshop.biz. The Share Your Embarrassment Tour is coming to your living room for one last stop, and you're not going to want to miss it.
Here's to the finest crew in Starfleet. Engage.
Watch your back, son. I'm Luke.
I'm Captain Captain Janeway of the USS Voyager.
Captain Captain Janeway of the USS Voyager.
Captain Captain Janeway of the USS Voyager.
Welcome to The Greatest Generation. It's a Star Trek podcast by a couple of guys who are a little bit embarrassed to have a Star Trek podcast. I'm one of those guys. I'm Ben Harrison.
I'm Adam Pranica. Last time on The Greatest Generation.
Yeah, we did something bad last time.
We landed on a Neelix's Galley episode.
Is this two drunkisodes since the Coco Nono that you skipped?
Think so. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
The last Neelix's Galley, I poured my champagne into a coconut.
Right.
And I don't think I'm breaking another rule today. But we had champagne so recently.
Right.
I was like, I'm just going to get a different bottle.
Okay.
No one's saying Talaxian champagne is effervescent.
Technically, Talaxian champagne is not champagne because it's not grown in the Champagne region of France.
It's Talaxian sparkling wine. I get it.
It's Talaxian méthode traditionnelle.
So what I've grabbed instead is a bottle of red wine. Bottle of actually pink wine by the looks of it.
That is a nice looking color. Yeah. I think I've had that bottle. That label looks familiar to me.
Yeah, I think we've had it together. And it is chilled because I could go for something thirst quenching, like a cold wine. So that's what I'm having. I'm having a 2020 California table wine called Super Bloom.
Mm. I'm having a natural wine, naturalmente frizzante.
I want to be clear, mine is natural too.
How the Italian style, pétillance naturel. And I don't know anything about this. It's just an Italian bubbly wine that is unfiltered. I'm a little worried about opening it because I walked home with it from the store.
It was in Darwin's mouth.
I didn't get an explosion. I lucked out here.
I'm enjoying my wine in an insulated cup. The way the makers intend it.
When consumed properly, as Sir Edmund Mailbar once wrote, it can elevate the soul.
So you and I were in Texas recently.
Yeah.
We went into the like flagship store of the Yeti family of products.
Oh, we sure did.
And I spotted a cooler that I thought looked really great. I just wanted this cooler so bad, and then I found out how much the cooler cost.
Are you secreting the cooler right now? Is that why you're putting this out into the universe? You want this cooler so bad?
I have not been able to stop thinking about this fucking cooler. This cooler cost $800. I can't justify it, but I also can't get it out of my head. There's no way I can spend $800 on a cooler.
Ben, you need the best cooler in the world to store all that milk. Baby, I got to keep your milk at the right temperature. This is the only thing that'll do it. And check it out. It's quiet, closed lid. Means we won't wake each other up at night when we're reaching in there.
It's going to be perfect. This is what we need.
Tell you what, Ben, this is how the baby industrial complex works. That cooler, probably an $80 cooler in any other store. You label it as a breast milk cooler, $800. And now you can buy it. That's how you get it past the budget goalie of your household, Ben. Milk cooler.
Yeah. I don't need a cooler at all.
You can't store breast milk in that cooler, Ben.
Yeah.
I've seen that cooler. It is unfit for breast milk.
much like us drinking wine.
I've started. Have you started?
Yeah.
I've started.
Cheers. We didn't even toast to the show.
Hey, here's to the show.
Here's to having another weird
Here's to you.
Hey, Darwin, don't lick my wine bottle, man. Darwin's usually pretty trustworthy around this stuff, but...
Well, Darwin's also 8.
Yeah. He's 7. Come on.
Your dog is as old in years as my dog is in months. And that explains a lot about their differences in behavior.
She's going to start catching up pretty soon, I think.
God. Hope so. Well, I am ready to nullify this bottle, Ben. How about you?
We'll find out, I suppose, over the course of this episode, whether these bottles are our nemeses or not.
Right. I really enjoyed the terminology used in this episode, Ben. It's Star Trek Voyager Season 4, Episode 4, Nemesis.
Revert course.
Unless you've got something a little bigger in your torpedo tubes, I'm not turning around.
It begins on a very Val Verde planet, huh?
Figures shrouded in mist and shadow creep through the jungle with rifles.
Yeah.
They catch someone. They catch an interloper.
You know what the most dangerous game is, Ben?
Chakotay?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they grab this guy, Chakotay. They take him back to their team leader. What's the guy's name? Brone?
Yeah, he's entered the Brone zone.
I take it you're in charge here. Team leader Brone, 4th Borg Defense Contingent.
I gotta get a pump.
That's it, get it.
Oh, speaking of Brone, we should have some Brodes.
Oh, shit. Good call.
Chakotay's entered the Brone zone. We've entered the Brode zone.
You're about to hear the tellings of our show.
Glimpse this, motherfucker. There's a very jargony big dogging happening here between Brone and the dudes that grabbed Chakotay.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, why did you grab this guy? We abhor none but the Nemesis, man.
That's what's so fun about this lexicon is that it's both military jargon and surfery in a weird way. I really like it.
Yeah.
I wish we got like a 4-episode arc here where we could live in it a little more, because I know I'm going to forget it immediately after this episode.
I know. But it's also like, it's one of those episodes where you're like, God, every alien should be like this. They should have like weird ways of putting stuff and like... The jargon is amazing, and it's so thoroughly developed. And every line that one of these guys utters, they say it in this weird way.
His glimpse is too tame to be a Kraiden. I hadn't fathomed that, sir.
Well, fathom it now.
And it's funny, like, it's the jangly keys of the episode, right? Because if it were just Chakotay getting caught up in a war on an alien planet, we've seen that episode before.
Yeah.
But it's this additional layer of these jangly keys, like... It's basically a jangly thesaurus that kind of gives the whole thing a fresh new spin.
Yeah. You drill to fathom the nemesis, but you don't need to drill to fathom what these guys are saying. It's like a magic trick that it is all in this weird, specific jargon, but it's also all perfectly understandable to us, the home viewer.
So the story is this team leader, Brone, of the Brone Zone. He's like, welcome to the Brone Zone, Chakotay. Here's what's up. We are the Vori, and we are fighting the Kraiden, also known as the Nemesis.
Also known as Kraidy Beasts.
And we like to be buried face down. This is maybe the most important part of our culture.
We'll show it to you later. Getting buried face down is like the main shit that we love.
I'm super busy right now as leader of the Brone Zone, so I'm going to pass you off to this Tate Donovan-looking guy named Naaman. And I'll catch up with you a little later.
All right. Peace out. Chakotay has crashed another fucking shuttle, Adam.
This is 3 episodes in a row for a lost shuttle, by my count.
Yeah, I mean, he was like curious about some Omicron radiation. These guys tell him that the Kraiden definitely shot him down because the Kraiden crave air superiority.
I was excited to see that air superiority a little later on.
Chakotay happened to crash in Grove Yellow, which is where the Grone Zone predominantly...
The Grone Zone would have been if Chakotay had parachuted out of a shuttle and landed in a tree branch with his legs spread. Goal! The groan zone.
Team leader Brone, a very helpful man, you know?
Yeah.
Chakotay is like, oh man, like I got to find my shuttle so I can radio my ship. And he's like, well, we got radios back at our rally point. You come with us. We'll be there in a couple of days. And Chakotay is like, hey man, I don't have that kind of time. I gotta get on that radio real quick. And he's like, well, I recommend you sleep here because it's really fucking dangerous up in them trunks.
You think when the Vori talk about swimming, it's a very complicated conversation about trunks versus board shorts and the netting and so forth?
The Vori kind of seem like Speedo type folk to me.
You know what I really craved in this scene, Ben, is they're talking on and on about how Chakotay can't communicate with the ship. You never get the tap. The tap with the blurp.
Yeah.
You know, like the thing that tells you that the communicator doesn't work. Team leader Brone of the Brone Zone, he doesn't know what that symbol is that he's wearing.
He touches it when he's telling him about it. My communicator's not working. If they just dropped the sound effect in when he touched it.
That's what I'm saying. I would have liked that.
Yeah, that would have been good. I noticed the same thing.
Yeah.
Brone passes Chakotay off on Rafin, who is a total noob, played by that guy from Starship Troopers who was trying to be a journalist and asked everybody in the co-ed shower scene what got them into the military.
Who asked you to be so nosy? What, I'm the bad guy? I'm going to be a writer.
Wow, good pull.
It was dark, but I recognized him right away.
He's got a great face.
He really does.
He is new to war.
Yeah.
He's never seen their enemy in person.
You mean he's never glimpsed their enemy in person, Adam?
Right. He's not glimpsed through his glimpsers at the enemy through the trunks.
He also says that they call him Rafin, which is like, ooh, man. If that's the nickname you get when you join the military, that's kind of brutal, right?
It's not good. Naaman is born to get hard, unlike this Rafin guy.
Yeah.
And Rafin's got the trembles, and that's going to be hard when you're out among the trunks.
You don't want to go into the trunks with the trembles.
They don't still transcribe this show on the network, do they? Because this is going to be an insane transcription.
Might be worth looking for that to see if they still do. It's an interesting conversation because they kind of talk about who the nemesis are, the Kraiti beasts.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, these are the people that they would like to send into the way after if they can. Chakotay is clearly uncomfortable with the way they describe these guys as being like incredibly gross and like, you know, intentionally biasing, and you can see his discomfort.
Isn't it interesting how Starfleet makes you kind of both sides the situation as a reflex? Because that's what Chakotay is doing here.
And interesting that, like, so much of this terminology is shared later on by the crew of the Voyager, and it doesn't seem like they have both sides anything in the way that that Chakotay is. Because he's like sitting there eating their food and like, talking to them about what it's like to be a Vori, and he's like, I'm sure that there's, like, a guy in a trench on the other side of this war that's just as afraid of you, man.
Right.
The Vori are not familiar with this as a concept. And, like, what they describe is, like, really brutal war crimes, right? Like, when Kraiti beasts come through their settlements, it's, like, craven brutality.
They're doing far more than glimpsing of their wives and their daughters, that's for sure.
Yeah. Nullified bodies, facing up.
It's awful what they're describing. And when Chakotay tells Naaman that war is a kind of nonsense that is centuries behind them, Naaman takes great umbrage with this.
Don't judge us. Like, we're in this awful situation. These guys did this to us, is basically the energy that every single one of these guys have.
It's the next day, and Naaman and Chakotay are trying to find the wrecked shuttle. This is the mission because Chakotay believes he can use the pieces of it to communicate with Voyager.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen when they find basically a shingle and that's it.
It's a one-bit of shuttle that they find.
Unfortunately, it's not the communication shingle that they hoped they'd find. and it's useless.
That's pretty rough.
A couple of crazy beasts come over a berm while they're looking at this thing and open fire, and these guys look like they've got quite a bit of grompa.
I like their look. I feel like most aliens should look this way, but so few do.
Most aliens should look like they're sick at Domjot.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the Kraiden should be fighting with Domjot cubes.
So the one guy gets nullified.
Yeah, Naaman's down. He spilled a lot of blood face down in the muck.
The rest of the squad runs into the clearing and clears out the remaining crazy beast, and then they have to grieve their fallen comrade. And we get to see the ceremony that they perform to send this dude off into the way after.
There's something so visually striking about taking a thing that we've all experienced or seen or understand as going a certain way and changing one minor thing about that to make it seem alien.
Yeah.
The idea of a body being made to be face down after death is so alien feeling.
It really is.
Like, if we went to the funeral of a relative who subscribed to a religion that we weren't super familiar with.
Yeah.
And we go participate and we do the thing and we sing the hymns and we do the whole procedure. And when it comes time to do the burial, if they just kind of flipped the box upside down, how shocking would that be?
That'd be intense, man.
It really would. Because, you know, you'd hear the body kind of drop to the other side of the box. Like, there'd be a rattle. There'd be a rumble inside that box, Ben.
Better than falling out the bottom of it, right?
Yeah, you can't have that.
No explanation. Just body after body busting out of shit wood and hitting pavement.
So they lay Naaman to rest.
The Vori bury you face down, ass up. That's the way they like to bury you.
Yeah, he's got his ass in the air and his mind in the gutter. And Chakotay asks them what kind of shrine they got, and he's very respectful of the ways of this different culture.
Chakotay has wandered back into the Brone zone.
Team leader Brone, 4th Vori defense contingent.
I gotta get a pump.
That's it, get it.
Brone is like, hey man, you gotta change into this dead guy's clothes, because that fucking red mantle on your shirt is really kind of eye-catching. It's gonna get us glimpsed, and then it's gonna get us nullified.
I know we look like humans, but I want to tell you something. Two things make us completely alien as the Vori. One, you bury us face down, ass up. Two, we do not evacuate our bowels in death, which means this change of clothing is going to be A-okay for you to get into, Chakotay. Absolutely no urine or feces in the pants part.
Sounds great.
Naaman did not Brando to portray his death scene.
Gotta say, it's nice seeing Chakotay wearing the deep U, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big U on Chakotay, and
More like University of Pectoral Muscles, right?
Hell yeah.
High five through the screen.
University of Pectoral Muscle Athletic Department.
XXXL.
Coming soon to podshop.biz.
Yeah.
So Chakotay gets sent off to learn how to shoot their guns with Rafin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, Rafin is supposed to drill Chakotay on the use of their weapons, but it turns out Chakotay drills Rafin on fathoming rages.
Right. And then the slash fiction, they drill each other. It's a scene that's about trembles giving way to rages.
Yeah.
You start out in war with the trembles, but then you're born to get hard rages after a little while. Yeah. And what Chakotay says here really inspires Rafin to do the same.
Having the trembles is natural.
How do you fathom that?
Survive a war. You gotta become war.
Rafin is so fucking psyched by this. He's like, fuck yes! Yes! The trembles can become rages! Ugh! Ugh!
This is the scene where you knew Rafin was going to die pretty soon, right?
Yeah, Rafin is not going to have a great time when he comes up against a Gramba.
Keep your top low and your glimpse wide.
Action happens pretty fast because that night, the Vori are on patrol and Chakotay finds a body. And yeah. God damn it, those fucking bastards turned his face up! They desecrated his body!
They left him upturned to be cooked by the glare.
And if you think this makes you feel a little bad, there's an entire 7th contingent behind the tree line, and they're all facing up.
Those motherless, crazy beasts.
Oh, it's so gross.
Oops, all up facing.
Yeah.
This is the guys that they were supposed to be meeting up with, the guys that had the comms equipment that Chakotay was going to use. So it's like complete disaster.
Brone seizes onto this moment. He tries to turn this into kind of a group Brone Zone situation. He uses the awful moment to rally the troops. But the problem is, when you enter the Brone Zone, it's a loud place to be. He's really getting hyped up. Yeah. He's jumping around and he's yelling at people, but he's too loud.
And we're not going to swallow it! Every goddamn team can move us!
And you know what that's going to do, Ben? It's going to draw the enemy fire from the Kraden.
Yeah.
And that Brone Zone gets shut down.
The Kraden start licking shots. They don't even get to find out who wins Ookie rally moment.
Ookie Brone Zone.
Because soon after, they're in full-on jungle combat. It's like a Vietnam film.
Aren't you proud of Rafin here? He's got the rages. He doesn't have the trembles.
He does have the rages. He's kind of Kevin Dillon in platooning at this point. Like, he's got the psychopathy of the Tom Berenger character, but none of the skills of the Tom Berenger character.
Oh, yeah. You hear a lot of people walking around like that.
Yeah.
BT dubs.
Yeah, so RSVP Rafin. And yeah. Chakotay does him right, you know? He helps him plank before he shuffles loose this mortal sphere.
Tell you what, like, ordinarily you'd see someone messing with a body and rolling them over, and you'd think something fucked up was about to happen. That's not how it goes on planet Valverde.
So after this awful night of running and gunning in combat, Chakotay the next morning is stumbling through the jungle by himself and just wanders into, like, a totally defenseless village.
Welcome to Lahana Settlement, Glory Defender. You're brightly greeted.
It is a town of blowout hairdos. Like, everyone has been blown out.
Yeah.
The old people, the middle-aged, the young.
And people that, you know, the blowout would have made their hair look better have also been teased. It's just a hair metal band living and aging together in the jungle.
Chakotay is so blown away by this, he just collapses in joy. Finally, he's safe.
Yeah.
And finally, we see the Voyager.
Yeah. That is up in orbit of this planet, unaware that Chakotay has made it safely to Lorana settlement. And the captain's log is referring to an ambassador that has told them that the people on the ground are looking for Chakotay in the middle of this war. And we cut to a McLaughlin group.
Issue one.
Doesn't seem like the captain has ever been in direct contact with this ambassador.
No, definitely
She's
not.
Being told about this by Tuvok and Kim and Paris. And
Neelix might actually know this guy.
Yeah, that was the other thing, was like, she asks Neelix, like, what's the deal with this conflict? Like, tell me about this war.
As if Neelix didn't tell us already that we've reached the end of his knowledge.
That was the thought in my head, and Neelix's response is, like, telling from the perspective of, like, this is what the ambassador told me.
Are you bullshitting us, Neelix?
No, I think he just got it from the ambassador.
All right.
But I think that that's an interesting moment because, like, it is ambassador to ambassador, right? Like, that's kind of the role that Neelix wants to inhabit.
But that's how ambassadors function.
And this is the scene that put me really on edge. The way they are speaking very uncritically about the, like, savagery of the enemy that the ambassadors' people are fighting, like, they're using all the same terminology, like their nemesis are bad, mm-hmm. and they do mm-hmm. bad things and desecrate bodies and shit. But it is so nonspecific that it made my spidey senses tingle.
As specific as it gets is the idea of if Chakotay just hooks up with the correct side of this conflict, he's going to be taken care of.
There's coffee right in the middle of the war zone.
Yeah, Treen is like, hey, listen, we're going to find this guy the second he connects with our people. We're going to radio up. You'll know right where he is. It's going to be fine.
He's not in the trunks anymore. He's in the blowout town.
Speaking of the blowout town, Chakotay is communicating with this old British man that seems to be sort of the town elder.
Right.
He keeps calling him Chakotay.
Yeah.
I feel like this actor wasn't familiar with the program, decided on a pronunciation for the name that he read in the funny. Script, and nobody on set corrected him.
Marna tells the truth, Chakotay. You are welcome among my neighbors.
I love this moment because everyone's trying to confer a valor to Chakotay that he feels uncomfortable accepting. He's like, look, guys, I will eat this bowl of good and plenties because I am hungry. But I don't want it to be because you feel like I'm some sort of hero or yeah. whatever.
I'm not a glory defender. I'm just a guy.
Right.
Don't try to be a glory defender. Just be a defender.
It's rhetorical nonsense.
And when the conversation turns toward what happened to the 4th Regiment, Chakotay demurs. He's like, yeah, those guys are the heroes. And that's about all I want to say about that.
There's a moment in this scene that made me so uncomfortable because the group is there talking to him and asking him a bunch of questions. And this lady asked, like, anything else you crave, like food, warm clothes, anything you crave. And they leave. And then the little girl that gave him the like flower Oof. Necklace Yeah. comes in, and I was like, no, 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 don't go there, episode, do not.
Yeah, and then the camera pulls back, and there's like a wooden sign nailed to a post, and it says Camp Epstein.
Jeez.
How did they know?
Why was Chakotay in the Black Book? It's a much more innocent scene than that. This girl is very curious about her big brother, Dario, who is a glory defender.
Mm-hmm.
And she's heard all the like horrible stories about what the Crady Beasts do when they nully her people. But Chakotay is not really willing to like participate in the racial degradation of the Kraden. He's like, yeah, it's true that they don't share your beliefs and they like don't respect them.
Nor is he willing to totally crush this girl's spirit by telling her that definitely her brother's dead.
Yeah, her brother has totally bought the farm.
Not only is your brother dead, but he's facing up in such a way that is spectacular. Like,
yeah,
they put him up on a table.
You wouldn't think that it was possible to face this far up.
This summer, you will believe. You can face up like this.
Coffee black.
Make it yourself.
I'm trying to help you see this as an opportunity to grow.
Make it yourself.
Spoiler alert, but like this is maybe like the most biasing moment for Chakotay.
Yeah.
Like, and one thing I really like about the script of this is that he starts more and more to kind of take on the argot of these people.
Yeah.
And I use like it too. More and more. Yeah. And like, he's like clearly resisting it in this scene, but I think after this scene, that wall has kind of broken.
What do you make of the significance of using contemporary firearms as weapons on this planet?
I don't know if it's like a pre-warp civilization or if it's part of the ruse.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Anyways, the next morning, they're like provisioning him and they give him like a, you know, a Manhattan Portage shoulder bag and... you know, letters for soldiers as he's walking out of the village.
And Marna gives him, like, a really deep kiss. Like,
yeah.
The kind of kiss that, like, drags some saliva out.
Mm-hmm. There's a good 13-inch strand of saliva between them before it breaks. So he trudges off into the trunks away from this. Again, totally undefended and defenseless village.
Should a merch item that we eventually sell on the new podshop.biz be swim trunks, but the pattern is trees and jungle? And they are trunks?
I mean, I don't want to even think about how complicated it would be to do that.
Could the package be like a tiny box with a latch on it so that you get your trunk? Is the pattern on these swim shorts trees and elephants? So it's trunk. It is, isn't it?
Your best will be enough.
How much of your bottle of wine have you drank?
Let's see, I've got that much left and...
Oh my God!
And like...
Oh, but you're drinking out of like a pint glass size insulated
cup. I've got like a half of a pint glass left and then maybe 3 fingers of wine left in the bottle. This Jesus always happens. Christ. I drink as fast as I can when it's this format.
It's only the wine shows though. Like, I mean, maybe this is why you didn't participate in the Coco No-No, is you didn't want to drink rum that fast.
Maybe that's what it is.
Remember that time that you just didn't do the Coco No-No? That was wild.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
So Chakotay is in the forest when he sees air cover going down back at the town he's just left.
Yeah.
Pretty cool to see just like some alien space planes.
They sounded like Harriers to me. Like the sound really sold the whole thing.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Yeah, and when he gets back, the Crady Beasts are rounding up all the people in this town. Chakotay is like, you know, lining up a shot, and that's when the Crady Beasts set on him, and he is taken prisoner.
Offer no opposition, or you'll be nullified.
On Voyager, we're in Janeway's ready room, and they're optimistic that Chakotay has survived the crash. But that doesn't mean he survived the war zone, and Paris is aching to go down there and play out his Rambo 2 fantasy. He wants this so fucking bad.
He is so eager for the fray.
Is there anything about him that suggests that this isn't a surprise? Like, he's more born to get hard than I expected here. And he and Chakotay aren't even close. Like, I would expect this if it were Kim behind there.
Yeah.
But what does he give a shit about Chakotay for?
I know that Paris, like, technically joined the Maquis for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really get the sense that he became war.
I don't get the sense that he's expendable either. And
no.
That's kind of a quality that you need in a mission leader here. And that's why Tuvok jumps right in there.
Yeah, he's like, hey, the whole boots on the ground thing, I think, is probably a terrible idea. I think we send one. And specifically not Paris.
I have been invited to many parties, and the people who throw those parties have not cared if I had shown up or not.
I have no interest in living the quiet life.
Well, I've got to get that platinum, get that robe enlargement.
Put your best foot forward and present your new business project or political thing as well as you possibly can on the internet. How do you do that? Not through some cookie cutter form on a social media website or trying and failing to code a pretty website yourself. No, you go to Squarespace, start using their completely new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint, which helps you choose from professionally curated layouts and styling options that help you build a unique online presence from the ground up that is tailored to your brand or business. Squarespace has been a super loyal sponsor of The Greatest Generation. We hope you will give them a try. Go to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/scarves to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Personal grooming is less about something I do for myself, even though there are myriad reasons for that, and more about my consideration for other people who have to look at me, be around me, and on special occasions,
love me physically. And when it's clear my front and back yards are becoming overgrown and unsightly, I'll break out the mower, the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra from Manscaped. This Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra is really something else. This trimmer features two interchangeable next-gen skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top, a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires. Listen, spring cleaning doesn't just apply to your nether regions. Get the full grooming experience with Manscaped's signature Beard Hedger Pro Kit and Handyman Electric Face Shaver. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code SCARVS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code SCARVS at manscaped.com. Nothing like a little spring cleaning in your pants, right?
It's Webby season. Hi, I'm Sequoia Holmes, host of the Black People Love Paramore podcast, and we are nominated for a Webby for the episode where I interviewed Hayley Williams. In case you're unfamiliar, Black People Love Paramore is a podcast delving into the common and uncommon interests of Black people in order to help us feel more seen. We would love your vote to help us win this Webby. Please take a second and go over to the Black People Love Paramore podcast social media accounts, and you can find them at BPLP Pod across all social media platforms. Hit the link in bio and vote for Black People Love Paramore.
Hi, I'm Travis McElroy.
And I'm Teresa McElroy.
And we're the host of Schmanners.
We don't believe that etiquette should be used to judge other people.
No, on Schmanners, we see etiquette as a way to navigate social situations with confidence.
So if that sounds like something you're into,
join us every Friday on Maximum Fun, wherever you get your podcasts.
I've got to get that
platinum. What now?
Are you planning a heist?
Gold.
So down on the planet, Chakotay and the girl from the village are in some Star Trek caves where they are being held prisoner. With,
can I just call her Lil Blowout? You can see it written in crayon, right?
Yeah. For podshop.biz, should we market a hairdryer, the Greatest Gen branded hairdryer?
Yeah.
For making a Lil Blowout haircut?
Lil Blowout. Look at her. Look at little Karya. Lil Blowout.
Chakotay trying to talk some sense with the Kraydon guard, but the Kraydon guards are cruel. They're bad people.
This is one of those prisoner prison guard situations where you can't ask a question, because if you ask a question, you're going to get a rifle butt to the face.
This is much worse than Ruripente in a lot of ways.
It creates something in Chakotay that you really want for the rest of the episode, which is bleeding out of both sides of his mouth.
Yeah.
It's a striking look.
And he's going to give up on the project of, like, fucking with the Kraydon for a little while.
Yeah, until the next morning when gunfire is their wake-up call.
And they go out of the tunnel to, like, see what's going on. It turns out that this Star Trek cave was, like, right on the edge of town.
It's convenient, really.
And he sees the Kraydon, like, you know, rounding people up, getting ready to take them to, like, extermination camps.
Yeah, because what's explained here is that the olds can't work for the Kraydon the way the youths can.
Yeah.
And Karya takes great umbrage with this because her grandpa is being marched off to get shot. And you made a terrible mistake, Karya, because you're going to join grandpa here. And this is something that Chakotay can't allow to happen.
Get me out of here!
He instigates a Star Trek fight to try to stop it, but he's just one Chakotay, and he gets knocked out.
I mean, the Kraydon are better armed now. The Kraydon look like they shop at the same place as Inquisitor Kira.
I like that.
He loses the Star Trek fight. Back up on Voyager, Janeway and Tuvok go to greet the ambassador. Ambassador Treen, come on, let's go see what's up to this guy.
Everyone's going to greet.
Ambassador Treen, a helpful man who just wants to be helpful and cool.
Yeah, can't wait to meet him. Can't wait to give him some of Neelix's food.
I hope his gramba is normal.
I hope he has a mouth that works with our utensils.
I hope he sucks at Domjot.
The ambassador and their contingent beams aboard, and oh no, they're Kraydon.
What? It's a bunch of Kraydens.
I like how we cut away, like right now. You don't even get the react. There's no Janeway react here.
No. Janeway's only reaction is like a shake of the hand.
It's so neutral that you can't tell if she's in on it in some way. Like, if this is part of it.
Yeah. We cut back to the surface of the planet where Chakotay is in the process of having his corpse desecrated.
Yeah.
He's face up, and he's tied to the ground.
Does desecration only happen to dead? Or can you be alive and desecrated?
Call Spectrum and say, I'm not worried about it! There's worse shit on the local news!
I mean, he's like in the process of dying, I think, when he re-enters the Brone Zone.
Team Leader Brone, 4th Bori Defense Contingent.
I gotta get a pump.
That's it, get it.
Brother, you just re-entered the Brone Zone. This is the thing about Brone.
You're gonna make bubbly wine go out of my nose, man.
And really, all of the Vori, you're casting for looking great in a tank top.
Yeah.
Because it's god like, damn it, Brone has got like arm goals.
You tell the truth when you name them beasts.
He isn't super jacked, but he is someone who can pull off a tank top.
He has a sinewy shoulder that is well developed.
Right.
And he rescues Chakotay, gets him untied, tells him about like all the fucked up shit that has gone down with the townspeople and how all of the defenders have been nullied at this point.
Chakotay's got a choice. He can go to the command post to contact Voyager, or he can stay there and keep doing make-we shit with his new friends.
I love the choice of Brone giving him a water bottle to sip from, because every time he like delivers a line, he then takes like a
contemplative sip,
like a Dom Toretto, like drinking a Corona while talking about family level sip from the canteen.
And he's speaking the language now too, which is great.
That can wait till the soon after. In the now, you need my help to nullify the nemesis.
They both want to avenge Rafin.
I wanted the scene where Chakotay ripped the sleeves off of his deep U. Show those fucking pipes, Chakotay.
It's just going to be the two of them. It's Chakotay and Brone versus the Kraydon now.
I don't like their numbers.
It's sort of like Tuvok said, right? Like a small commando contingent could like do a lot of damage here.
Right.
So they're up to some like real serious like deep dark jungle combat at nighttime, wasting Kraydons.
They never do the Kraydons the way that the Vori are done, right? Like, how do you think they prefer to be buried? There's no burial quid pro quo, or whatever.
Quid pro Kraydon.
Yeah.
They're surrounded by Kraydon. Brone catches one.
Don't let Brone go into that Brone goodnight.
It's just, we're down to just Chakotay.
You know, Brone's taking the Brone Zone with him if he's off the map.
Sad.
Yeah. A single Kraydon appears, and this is unusual, right?
Yeah.
Steps out from the jungle, and he's like, hey, Chakotay, I'm Tuvok. Chakotay's like, what? That's impossible!
That's not true! No!
And then Tuvok slices off one of Chakotay's arms. And Brone, not having died, Brone is like, you're still in the Brone Zone, man!
That's it, get it.
Don't believe him. Don't trust him. Let him die. And the longer Tuvok speaks, the more Chakotay is starting to believe. And there's kind of a visual thing happening here too, right?
Yeah, the kind of the shimmery illusion falls away intermittently and reveals not a Kraydon face, but a Tuvok face in a Kraydon uniform.
Did you think that this was Tim Russ in Kraydon face?
I couldn't tell.
Because I found it very difficult to tell if it was him buried under all that loaf.
Because his voice sounded really different, too.
They've brainwashed you, Commander.
I actually did research. I wanted to figure this out.
Yeah.
My research was face down.
When the illusion falls all the way away, Chakotay is, like, horrified that Tuvok has come into this conflict wearing Kraydon clothing.
Yeah.
It's like, how can you dress up like you're Inquisitor Kira?
Tuvok, I hate to see you go, but I love to watch you leave. This story is crazy. What Tuvok is telling Chakotay is that nothing Chakotay has been through that day was real.
Yeah.
It's how the Vori create radicalized soldiers.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, like, I will fucking prove it to you. Walk with me.
In order for you to believe me, you must depart the Brone Zone.
They walk through the jungle and they find...
the village of the blowouts, right?
Yeah. And Chakotay walks in and has like the identical experience.
Yeah.
Again, where they just greet him as everybody's there. Nobody has been rounded up and taken to an extermination camp.
It was all a charade, Ben. Chakotay has been frame of mind.
If only Picard had been here to put it that way.
Chakotay has been future imperfected.
Yeah.
Chakotay and Tuvok depart the Brone Zone, and on Voyager in Six Bay, Chakotay is back, but he is not better. Like, physically, he's okay, but mentally, he's tossed salads and scrambled eggs. And the doc, the way the doc describes him,
baby,
like,
I hear the Creighton calling.
The doc is like, try to imagine the Brone Zone being a place where you just get a couple of handfuls of pills out of the fishbowl and you just take them to the dome. That's what Chakotay's been doing. It was a recruiting mission.
You've been subjected to a highly sophisticated form of propaganda.
You want us to sell Amway?
They like drugged him up. They like subjected him to simulations and like... there's like a bunch of different propagandistic techniques working all together to inculcate him into this way of life where all you want to do is live in the Brone Zone.
Oh, yeah. Once you're in the Brone Zone, that's the only place you want to be.
Yeah. And it wasn't personal. It was like he fucking crashed on this planet and they were like, cool, fresh meat.
It's so weird. They saw him in the Brat-style shuttlecraft up in high orbit and they're like, how about that guy?
Yeah.
See how he does in the Brone Zone.
Team Leader Brone, 4th Vori Defense Contingent.
I gotta get a pump.
That's it, get it.
Low-key, one of the best parts of the script of this episode is like when he starts asking about like desecration and Janeway's like, I don't know, man. Like, it's a war. I'm sure fucked up shit is going on both sides.
Yeah.
Like, she kind of joins that both sides thing before Ambassador Treen comes in.
It's so crazy. They bring in this ambassador. This is not a good choice by anyone involved. Who chose this? No one should have done this to Chakotay.
Don't make him shake hands with a fucking guy that looks like that?
Yeah. I don't blame Chakotay at all for this. He was just moments ago in the Brone Zone and you expect him to just get used to being outside of it?
That's a crazy beast as far as he knows.
Yeah.
It's a parable about hatred, Adam. They won't let you walk away from that. That's right in the end of the episode.
Yeah. Damn.
Janeway
follows Chakotay into the hallway, and it's like the end of First Blood. Janeway's trying to figure out Chakotay, and Chakotay's like,
Chakotay.
Nothing is over! Nothing! You just don't turn it off!
Well, Adam, was it easy for you to stop hating this episode, or was it too easy to start?
You know, I'm really easy to get along with most of the time. But I don't like bullies, I don't like threats, and I don't like you.
Ben, I really like this episode a lot. I have a feeling that this is an episode that is very unpopular with people.
Oh, interesting.
But for the same reasons that people would dislike this episode, those are the reasons that I like it. I like that this is a sick Twilight Zone kind of sci-fi twist on a war movie.
Yeah.
I like that it's Chakotay, specifically, because I feel like he's not had a lot to do lately, and now he's the A in this story, and I enjoyed watching him experience this awful situation. I love the guest stars.
Yeah.
On this episode. This seems like a uniquely strong episode in terms of guest stars because there's like six of them that really jump off the screen.
Totally.
And are interesting and feel like they're fully realized. Like if you were to go off in the story with any one of them, I feel like you could get a good 15 minutes of stuff out of them. I really loved it a lot. What am I mean, season four is all about 7 and 9. 7 and 9, not here.
Not even in the episode. Doesn't show up once.
I wasn't even thinking about 7 and 9. As long as I was in the Brone zone, I couldn't think of anything else.
Wow.
What about you, Ben?
Yeah, I like this episode too. This episode I've seen it maybe 2 times before this, but I didn't quite remember how it resolved. The thing that has always stuck with me about this episode is the like incredibly richly realized culture of the Vori. And like,
yeah.
I think that it's Star Trek really living up to the promise of Star Trek in a way, like showing an interesting, like we don't know what the Vori even look like. Like that's the amazing thing is like when you think back and you're like, oh, like they look human. They only look human because that benefits them in Chakotay's eyes. Like they like it helps their cause to turn Chakotay into a soldier if he thinks that they look just like he does.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really terrific episode. I like it a lot too. I think it's good.
Yeah, I really do. This was super fun.
I think if this episode gets invited to a party and it doesn't show up, it's a big deal.
Yeah, this episode is not expendable, that's for sure.
Well, Adam, do you want to see if there's anything in the Priority One inbox for this episode of The Greatest Generation?
I'm almost out of wine, so, yeah.
Priority One message from Starfleet coming in on secured channel.
Need a supplemental income.
Supplemental income?
Supplemental.
Supplemental.
Yeah, it's extra.
But the interest alone could be enough to buy this ship.
Adam, our first Priority One message is of a promotional nature, and it goes like this.
Do you think they're disappointed if you're doing a promotional one when they land on the Drunkisode landmine? You entered the Brone Zone, promotional P1 purchaser.
Caveat emptor. Uh-huh. Sometimes that happens. Here's the message. Ben! Adam! I am contacting you from the past! I'm caught in a quantum time travel MacGuffin. Episode 300, to be exact. I've been listening to you almost exclusively in my painting studio for over a year, catching up on back catalog, and realized it was about time I showed some fellow creatives some support. So here are 267 Canadian scarves. Thanks for this dumb show. It's great. A bit of you two are in my work. Not in that way. Gross. So now FODs, go buy some of my art. And now, this is tax deductible.
Good call. I just went over to earthskyart.ca and I'm looking at this art right now. And this is art that I would totally put up on my wall.
Earthskyart.ca is what's being promoted in this promotional P1. And you can get 15% off any print order with the code QUANTUM in the special instructions. Earthskyart.ca.
You know what I'm really enjoying? The Turbulent Skies series.
I haven't glimpsed it yet. I'm just opening it up in my browser right now.
Really cool. This is great. Earthskyart.ca.
I like it a lot. It's really good stuff.
Yeah.
Very beautiful.
Yeah, get in there.
Anybody that is making a living as a painter is really cool by me.
And it's amazing to hear that we are the sole inspiration for a visual artist like this. Like that Jay needs us to do his art.
Yeah.
Is just incredible. The responsibility I feel to do a good show for Jay.
We got to do better. We must do better, Adam.
I think if we got better, I mean, Jay's painting is already great.
Yeah.
Jay's painting would improve if we got better, I think.
I can't see how this painting would improve. It's really cool. I'm clicking through paintings on this website. They're so beautiful.
Yeah, Jay, we're going to talk later about getting one of these up on the wall.
Yeah.
I think it's important. Ben, our second Priority One message It's from Jonathan Tinker. It's to Nathan Tinker.
Okay.
And I have a throat bubble I'm trying to get out. The message goes like this. Happy birthday, Dad.
Whoa.
This Priority One message comes from Jonathan, sending you all my love and support. I think you're the coolest dad in Starfleet.
Whoa.
Nathan, with a happy birthday gift to his dad, how many fathers and sons do you think listen to our show?
When I heard that there were two last names in common, I was betting brothers.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of brothers, I think.
There was a total twist. I didn't expect it.
This is that meme where, like...
Yeah, they had us the first half. I'm not going to lie.
That was like when Ambassador Treen materialized on the transporter pad. I was like, what?
I know.
Adam, our final Priority One message is from Jason G, and it is to DC, Sam N, and Brad B, and Adam and Ben.
Oh, whoa. Like, I think we know who these people are.
Yeah, we do, for sure. Goes like this. Sam and Brad, I can't thank you enough for introducing me to the pod. Just saw the Milwaukee show. Amazing. Including your P1 for me regarding Brad's obsession with McRibs. Ben and Adam, viewing this pod has gotten me through many dark days and nights, driving to jobs I hated. Keep up the amazing work. Congrats, Sam, on your wedding. Screw Flanders.
Wow, this one was intended for more proximate to Sam's wedding date, April 17th.
Which happened to be the date of our DC live show.
You and I met a ton of Sam's friends at that wedding reception, which we went to after our live show in DC.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jason G, if you're anything like those that we met at the wedding, you got to be great. I mean, that was like a highlight of the tour for me was meeting a bunch of Sam N's friends. And big fun all around, I'd say. It was fun to go to that reception and have people recognize me and like, not recognize them. It was weird.
Well, thank you to everyone who got a Priority One message. And if you'd like to get one, you can get it right now by going to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron. Set it up today. What's stopping you?
Yeah, you don't need a wedding to do it.
Any excuse will do.
Maybe you're an artist.
Yeah.
Or you're getting married. Or you have a dad. Or you don't have a dad.
Any permutation of that is perfectly acceptable by us.
Yeah.
Hey, Adam.
What's that, Ben?
Did you find yourself a drunk Shimoda?
Incredible. Drunk Shimoda.
I feel like this episode was full of them. Really. And I think the character that I just couldn't... I mean, we've referred to him so much. So much so that he's got his own zone.
I take it you're in charge here.
Team Leader Brome, 4th Boring Defense Contingent.
I gotta get a pump.
That's it, get it.
This Michael Mahonen guy who plays Brome.
Yeah.
Couldn't take my eyes off of him.
Yeah.
And it's not just because he had pipes. I mean, there was just something about his relationship to Chakotay that was really exciting. And like it's got to be so hard to audition and get the role of guy fighting a war and then be given a thesaurus next to the script. Like, I know you think, hey, congratulations, you got the part. Also, you're going to be talking in some sort of weird, unrecognizable thesaurus speak here.
Yeah.
Hope you can get with it. And it had to be so hard not to laugh during these takes because the vocabulary is ridiculous, but he makes it believable. And I think this whole episode hangs on Brone. And I'm in the Brone zone, man.
Wow.
I think that's what makes him my Shimoda. What about you?
I think it's a similar reason. Like, I got to give it to Raven, like, another... like, excellent practitioner of the language that the Devori are depicted as speaking. And I think that the reason he, like, worked his way into my drunk Shimoda slot on my notepad was just that moment where he's, like, so fucking pumped about turning his trembles into rages is just such a special moment in this episode. And like the like script math of he is fucking doomed at that moment is so apparent in that scene that it only makes it more tragic.
Yeah.
So he got my drunk Shimoda this time, and I'm pouring the last of my wine into my glass.
Yeah, I'm working on my last also.
Last whining it.
Do you know his character name in Starship Troopers was Kitten Smith?
I saw that when I looked him up on IMDb because I was like, that's the guy from Starship Troopers. And I just wanted to like double check before I said it on the episode.
Yeah.
And right before we started recording, I like IMDb'd Starship Troopers and I was like, Kitten Smith. Okay. Did not know.
God, the life of an actor is just so interesting. Like, I'm looking through Matt Levine's IMDb, and it's like 2010, 2013, 2017, 2020. Like, fuck.
Yeah. He's really good. He shouldn't
He's
be
really
going
good.
Years without doing yeah. a shoot, you know?
Yeah, I think so, too.
Objection noted. We'll do this without you.
Do it. Adam, our next episode... Star Trek Voyager Season 4, Episode 5 is called Revulsion. B'Elanna and the Doctor respond to a distress call and come to the aid of a malfunctioning hologram?
Sounds like a job for the Doctor, right?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Doc, fix this.
Doc! You made a malfunctioning hologram? Out of a character on Voyager?
Are we going to get more 709, you think?
Yeah, maybe.
It would be amazing if they just set 709 to the side and went back to Voyager episodes as usual.
Just for like a long time.
We'll see you at the season finale, Devin.
Wow. Well, I'm going to head over to the Game of Buttholes, Will of the Caretaker, and set up our board game.
We're at the top row, Ben.
Wait, what
we're
the
in
fuck?
the '90s now.
We could hit a space butthole that would take us down to an nth degree episode, which would require us to do tons and tons of research and find lots of real facts out about this episode.
Oh God, please don't let us do that.
People always love those and never get mad at us for the facts that we find out.
I do not want that.
You're required to learn as you play. Roll.
We've been rolling a lot of sixes lately, so I wouldn't be totally shocked if that happened.
All right.
I'm going to roll the bone. Oh, but I rolled a 4.
Chula! Did I win?
Hardly.
So we're on square 96. Nice. This is a regular old episode next week.
This puts us one roll away from a Mournhammered episode. It feels like we've been doing a lot of drinking lately, Ben.
I know.
This has become a very drunk show, The Greatest Generation.
I know, but one thing we've learned about the show lately is that the Mournhammered, it's not a guaranteed thing. Like, you don't have to do a Mournhammered to get back to the bottom of the game.
You know what we should do? Mm. We should put another square on the board called the Brone Zone. And here's what you do. The entire episode, you're doing curls.
Wow.
Curls or like shoulder press, like whatever it is, you just keep it in motion. Just keep working out.
The whole time? You don't take breaks between your reps?
No. Maybe you're squatting. Like you're squatting, you're up to the mic, you're squatting. You're down here, you're back to the mic, you're doing it all.
I'm going to go ahead and veto that idea. I think that's a terrible idea and would make for bad pot.
Brone Zone belongs on the board just as much as the one where you're making a fucking macaroni plate model. Come on. It's just as valid as that. Brone Zone.
I could be persuaded, but I think it can't be.
Also, kick the Traveler off of there. You know what belongs on there? Hey, nerds!
Wow.
We've got some edits to the board game.
All right, Felipe, if you're listening, some interesting directives coming down from Adam today.
I think these are good ideas.
Some of them are.
Come on, man. Enter the Brone Zone.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to next week's normal-ass episode. I'm going to drink the last of my glass of wine right now.
Wow. This has been a great ep. I love a wine drinking ep. I think it's better than the champagne ep.
Wow.
Or the sparkling wine ep, I think.
Well, mine was sparkling, but it wasn't champagne. So, I mean, like, fuck you.
Delicious.
Make it so. Next week, normal episode. Thank you to Adam Ragusa, who made our amazing theme music, the Car Daddy, who runs our social media at Greatest Trek, Wendy Pretty, who produces this program, Nick Ditmore, who makes the art,
the Miriam Friends of DeSoto, who gather in all the places using the hashtag GreatestGen. They're also on the Discord at DrunkShimoda.com. They also came out to see our live shows in droves.
True.
So happy to see so many Friends of DeSoto out there.
Maybe we're promoting a live show at the beginning of this episode. I don't know. We don't know. So much could happen in between now and when this episode comes out. We're recording a month ahead.
You could be in the live show zone.
Yeah. Brone up or brone out.
This is a good show that I'm proud of.
It's been a lot of fun. With that, we will be back at you next week with another great episode of Star Trek Voyager and an episode of The Greatest Generation Voyager that would never put on a knife strap-on, ever.
This episode was fun until that part. What are you doing?
The next episode has the guy from Seven that does that.
Ugh.
In it.
Yuck.
It wasn't his fault. It was fucking Kevin Spacey's fault. He's a fucking monster. He's a terrible person in the movie and in real life.
Cool. Well, you know what really helps the end of this episode? A Kevin Spacey reference.
Yeah. He really dug deep to play a dirtbag in that movie.
We really need to hit stop before you make it somehow worse. I'm ready to go back to the Brone Zone.
Yeah, we should... Why did we ever leave the Brone Zone? That was a mistake.
Let's just turn around and head for the Brone Zone.
Yeah. Can we? What if we just started reviewing Star Trek in reverse from here?
Yes. And what if we were just doing bicep curls during?
I'm not really willing to work out that much.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.